It's Tuesday night and time to talk Chadron State football with the head coach. It's the Jay Long Show, presented by Chadron Glass and Windows.
Cut back into him and he hit him perfectly and the ball bounced out, hit Sandersfeld, and then there was about two or three great blocks by some young football players and we ended up scoring a touchdown, which created a huge, huge momentum. That when you go back and you watch film, you know, I guess the first thing he shows is that, you know, it's never as bad as you think it is and it's never as good as you think it is. But, you know, the main takeaway was we played really well in the second half against a top team.
Here's your host, the voice of the Eagles, Dave Collins.
Tuesdays means Jay Long, the head coach of the CSC Eagles, is in the studio with us for the Jay Long Show. Coach, welcome back in. Guys, another tough battle with Pueblo on Saturday. Huge rivalry game down there. You gave them a tough fight down in Pueblo.
Dave, after watching on film and looking things over, you know, Pueblo's a good team and they're well coached. And I was happy with how our guys went out and executed, especially in that first half. And, you know, when you look at our game plan, you know, offensively, we wanted to control the clock. We wanted to move the sticks. We wanted to find ways to score. And in that first half, that is what we did. Our defense, we wanted to eliminate the run, and we wanted to force some takeaways and make them one-dimensional. And you know, in the game plan, that's what we did. We took away the run, and we got two takeaways. Then counting special teams, there's another three takeaways there. Our special teams, we forced a missed kick, we blocked a kick, and then we blocked a punt. You know, so those things are the things that show that, you know, our team's getting better. We're doing the right things. And we go on the other side of things after watching it, you know, offensively, we needed to score in the red zone. We needed to score a touchdown, and we left 15 points out there in the red zone. And if we score on those 15 points, it, you know, changes the game. It changes the dynamic of the game, and we end up having to kick some field goals, and they forced a miss on us also. So that is something that, you know, that we've got it. That's the piece that we've got to get fixed. You know, defensively, you know, we eliminated the run. We wanted to make them one dimensional, and you know, they got some deep shots on us, and that's where our youth started to show. You know, and then special teams, I thought, you know, that was just, it was one of our better days, special teams, and we need our special teams. It's something in the beginning of the year that we struggled with. As the season's progressed, we've gotten better there, and on Saturday, I think it was one of the better, you know, statistically outputs we've had.
Coach, that was a really great kind of umbrella description of a lot of the things in the game on Saturday, and we'll get into some of the specifics tying into all of that right now. And one thing you brought up for special teams was the red zone scoring, but the field goals in particular. And I remember after the game talking to a lot of you guys, and there was some question as to if Gunnar Jones's 19-yard field goal at the end of the half was good. It was ruled not good, but apparently very close. Did you go back on film, take a look at that? What'd you see?
Yes, we did go back on film, and the film cuts off. So we don't get to see the end zone copy of it. I mean, our guys' body language, Dave, that's what I always try to read, is, you know, their body language. And the body language looked like it was good from the guys. You know, we've had some fans say where they were standing, they seen it, you know, and stuff. And, you know, the real answer is we just can't cut it that close. And our operation wasn't as solid as it needed to be. We had a little bit of a high snap. And by having a high snap, you know, Gunner, he takes his steps. It's no different than an O-lineman or a long jumper or a baseball hitter. Once they start their progression, it's really hard to stop it and adjust to it. And the snap was high, and it just went right over top the goalpost, Dave. And it was, you know, that awkward kick. It's not very long distance-wise, but it's right on the hash, on that left hash. You got to kick it to the, you know, kick it hard right. And so long story short, just our operation times need to improve on that. And that's the thing that we said that in special teams is our ops. We got to get our ops right. And that's our snap, our hold, our kick. And that goes also on our special teams, or on our punt team.
Kick could have given the Eagles the lead going into the half, a low-scoring first half. Let's stay in that first half for right now. Coach, 6-6 at the break. Points really hard to come by. You do get the first touchdown of the game. Grant Swenson, who had a huge day, he caught a 7-yard pass from Heath B. Miller for a touchdown. So you have the lead at that point to start the game. Heath was back at quarterback. What do you think about the offense regarding those guys and getting that lead early?
You know, Dave, whenever injuries happen, I mean, we had three of our, you know, four starting receivers that didn't make make the trip. And, you know, that provides other opportunities. And Grant made best of them opportunities. I mean, he had 9 catches on the day. When I was talking earlier about finding a way to move the chains, you know, he was a big part of that. He was catching those short passes and gaining some actually hard, tough yards on them. And, you know, when you look at like 3 names that I would say in this game that I was really happy with, and Grant is 1, Hunter O'Connor is 2, Dylan Soule on special teams, you know, those 3, you know, really played above and beyond and had a good game. And, you know, with Grant, Grant is one of those guys that we talk about that has been a developmental player for us. His first year, he didn't travel. And, you know, he's on his 3rd year of the program. And first year, he didn't travel. He stayed at home. He had to, you know, continue to lift. And I'm missing a step. He redshirted his first year. His second year, he didn't travel. And then he changed. And he changed his mindset. And he got himself into a position where he can make a difference. And on Saturday, he's been waiting for his number to be called. It got called, and he had a real big day, and it really helped us. And it gave Heath a good outlet also, you know, to be able to throw to a receiver that he trusts.
Heath was back from injury, and great timing with Preston Pearson being out. So you get a quarterback with some experience this season with the guys, and he went out there this week. What did you make of how Heath was able to bounce back from not playing for a while for your guys?
You know, I thought that Heath, I said it after the game, he's a really a tough kid. And the injury that he had earlier in the year, you know, it was a tough one because it does affect mobility. You know, when he was out there, we didn't give up a sack until the very last series of the game, and he did a really good job, I thought, managing the game. He also understood our game plan and went out and executed that game plan. And, you know, we wanted to, you know, to find a consistent run, and we wanted to take short passes and continue to move that chain. And when you look at our regular field, we moved the ball up and down the regular field. Where we struggled was in that red zone. And we knew that Pueblo was going to be tough to just go out and let's go run the ball at them, especially in the red zone. Because when they're in the red zone, they can man things up. They can, you know, put another body in the box. Everything gets squeezed down. And we didn't do a good enough job, you know, in the red zone. And there were some misplays by our players, but also we need to find a way to get in that end zone. And we have a great kicker, and you know, we did kick, I think, some field goals in there, but we needed some touchdowns. That could have been the difference in the game.
Yeah, and we'll get into that here in just a quick second. Final thought real quick on Heath, the injury. Boy, a scary moment for Heath in the second half when he appeared to re-injure that knee. You could tell he was spooked about it, maybe in a lot of pain. He threw the helmet down, and we were all kind of holding our breath. What's the latest on Heath now, heading into this week? Hopefully he's feeling okay.
You know, I think, Dave, it was the first time he'd really been hit since it had happened. You know, in practice, we'd been pretty obviously careful with him. And then, you know, when you go out in the game, obviously the quarterback's live in games. And, you know, it was towards the end of the game. He took his first, I guess, real hit where he got buckled a little bit goofy. Long story short, Dave, yesterday he practiced. Today he's going to practice. So, that makes me feel a lot better.
Great to hear that he's back and he's getting some practice in and feeling okay. It's a scary moment on Saturday against CSU Pueblo. Jay Long with us for his Tuesday night Jay Long show. Let's get to arguably the play of the game, coach, and the sequence of the game. The play right before halftime, Bobby Peel, an amazing defensive back, jumped a sideline pass and he returned the interception to the 3-yard line. Great play. Eagles unable to score off of that, though. It seemed like the momentum of the game changed right there.
You know, it did. It was one of them things where, you know, if we score 7 on it, that's a huge momentum builder going into the second half. Even if we get the field goal, you know, it still provides momentum towards us. You know, by us missing, you know, the field goal and not getting any points, you know, I don't know if it worked the other way or not, Dave, but, you know, the real truth of the answer is that it was still a tied game going into half. And you know, we needed to reset. And, you know, that third quarter, we gave up 21 points and in that third quarter, and we didn't score any points in the third quarter. And do I think it built off that second half into the second half? I don't really know that, Dave. I know that we need to be a mature team and just say it's still 6-6, still a tied game. You know, we still have an opportunity to win. And in games, momentum do shift. Momentum shifts both ways. And you know, us as a team, we got to continue to find ways to make momentum go on our side.
Coach, in the second half, you kind of alluded to that offensive explosion. They had several downfield touchdowns, some big ones over the top. We didn't see that in the first half, really. Was there an adjustment that you noticed Pueblo made at the break or something that changed in that second half that opened those up for him?
You know, Dave, I think I've said it, you know, 3-4 times the past few weeks is, you know, our game plan is pretty simple. Let's eliminate the run. And we have a front seven that's really, really good at that run, eliminating the run. And then we want to force them to throw the balls in front of us, and then we rally on the short pass. They got in that second half, or in that third quarter, they got three balls behind us. There's different reasons for each one of them, but really, it just the part that has been consistent with our team is that we have a period where our youth shows, our inner experience shows, and as this season progresses, we've got to start those things. Got to continue to eliminate and go less and less, and it has it has went down, but we just got to continue to focus on, you know, those key mistakes. And when you look at it, Dave, when we watch on film, our effort is not a problem. And that's not a problem. And if effort was a problem, then that's when you're really nervous as a coach, because you have guys that aren't playing hard.
Yeah.
Our kids are playing hard. We got to just add into that smart side. You know, our motto is tough, smart, physical. We want to be a tough football team. We want to be a smart football team. And we want to out-physical the other team. And we are doing those other two. I feel in the first half, we matched their toughness. In the fourth quarter, we finished the game. That third quarter, we just got to continue on that smart side of things. And the offensive explosion wasn't just, we needed to score points too, Dave, in there. Today's modern game, you know, to win a game 9-6 is really, really hard. You don't see it anymore. You hardly see it even in the NFL.
Yeah.
But when you're looking at college game in particular, you know, people score, and you know, we've got to figure out ways to score in that third quarter, and we got to figure out ways to stop people in that third quarter.
Coach, a great point you brought up about the youth in the secondary. One of your young corners in particular, I talked to him after the game. He said he was just so grateful to get the chance to be out there on the field, get the reps, and it sounds like you said, there's certainly no lack of effort, that getting out there on the field, getting a chance to get reps, learn, play, all those developmental things they're trying to harness, take advantage of, and get better.
And, you know, like I said, Dave, I mean, you get to travel with us. I know I said this a few weeks ago, and how awesome is that for you? You get to see the mentality of our team. You get to see, you know, what our meetings are like. You get to see how the guys act on the trip. You get to see, you know, when a food person says, hey, this is the most polite football team that we've ever had,
yeah,
you know, on a trip and you know, come through here, or the hotels say, hey, we were really nervous about a football team being here, and you guys were well-mannered. You know, I mean, those are things that don't, you know, that don't get said, but you get to see what our guys are like. And, you know, our guys, you know, they want to win. And we work too dang hard not to. And, you know, but that's the best thing about sports, is that nothing is guaranteed. Any team can win. And it always comes down to key plays, key moments, you know. And, you know, right now, we got to get ourselves where we're executing in those key moments. And like I said earlier, when I first started this off, we are growing, we are getting better. It's just that there's just, we got to continue to focus on it.
Coach, you mentioned key moments. A guy who shows up in every single moment, key or not key, so to speak, Hunter O'Connor, huge day for the defensive end. And Gabe Perkins, another big day. But your defensive ends were crashing in on the outside, really swallowing up the quarterback in the pocket quickly a lot on Saturday. Your defense continues to keep your football team within reach of some terrific squads on the other side and create some big plays for opportunities. And Hunter is really leading the way there.
You know, one of the things that we have changed and we've made adjustments on, you know, I've said it in different ways, but you know, one of the adjustments that we have had is to give offensive lines different looks. And we will change it with a 3-man rush and a 4-man rush, which then helps our secondary and helps us, you know, to be able to, you know, to make sure that ensure that we're getting those short passes that we can rally on and keep things in front. And Hunter's been one of those guys that has really, really benefited from that, by widening him out, putting him in different positions. Two out of his four sacks Saturday were from a 3-man rush. The reason why that's important is when you have a 3-man rush, typically there's 5 O linemen that all stay in. So that means that two of the guys are getting double teamed. Then a lot of the times the running back will stand. So that means that the running back and the other lineman double team the other one. So you got six to block three. And Hunter on two of those sacks got a sack on a three-man rush, which is really huge. And the other part that is, I think, that is really big, and I know you're going to have him on the radio later on in the week, is that he went against Elijah Reed and got two of those sacks. When you're talking names, when Dave's talking on the radio, he doesn't normally name offensive linemen of the other opponents.
Yeah.
But when you're looking at top offensive tackles in our league, you know, last year was, you know, when you talk all conference, Justin Calderon was the number one vote getter on offensive line. Number two was Elijah Reed. And then number three was Carl School Mines guy. And when you're looking at it, Hunter had two sacks on Elijah Reed. So that tells you that he had a really good day, and really proud of him. And, you know, to even add on to it, he's had six sacks in 2 weeks. That is a really big number. Most people are happy with six sacks on a season, and he's got him in 2 weeks. And he's got him against, you know, Pueblo is arguably one of the best, if not the best, offensive line in our league. So that was really awesome for him to see.
That was the matchup we talked about in the pregame last week, too. Coach Reed and O'Connor going at it, and Hunter had a big day. And I know I'm a little biased as the voice of Shadron State and see every Shadron State game in play. There's a lot of good defensive players in the league, but the way Hunter's going, his trajectory, and with the work he puts in, do you see he could be the RMAC defensive player of the year maybe in a couple of years? Certainly a first-teamer, but he might be good enough to be the very best up there by the end.
You know, I think he's got great talent, Dave, and when you look at the COVID year, and I think I've dropped this a few times, but in the COVID year, those red shirts didn't redshirt. They didn't have to redshirt. And he was one of those benefited guys that got to come in, and he got some reps as a true freshman against, you know, Northern Colorado, against Kearney, against, you know, really good, you know, good football teams. And him, Xavier Harrell did, mm-hmm. and Dax Girardi did, Jaden Cox did. Trayvon Smith did. Kean Martin did. And, you know, Those guys right now that we're talking about, there are some of our stars of our team. Or they are the stars of our team. And it was really big. You know, I think the sky's the limit for Hunter. You just got to continue to work hard. And, you know, Dave, he's one of those guys that is bought into our program all the way. He gets good grades. He stayed here over the summer, made himself stronger. His weight wasn't where it needed to be. He gained 20 pounds. I mean, Dave, those are all things that show our young guys how to develop into a top player. And you know, he's really done that. And he comes from a family, Dave, they're tough people. They're tough people, and Hunter's one of those tough guys. And, you know, he got banged up, I think it was 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, where he wasn't able to travel.
Mm-hmm.
And when I knew, when he was hurt, you knew. I mean, you knew. I mean, he's like, there's nothing that questions his toughness. I mean, he's one of those guys. He's a tough kid.
Yeah, he's terrific. Coach, let's move on with the Saturday look back and then ahead to Highlands this week. The Hammer Award, the weekly special teams honor. We've talked about special teams, some blocks in there, some good play. What do you feel, or what did you see from the team in terms of the candidates and who got awarded this week's Hammer?
Hey, Dave, the reason why I think I've said special teams so much is that they executed really well. And Dave, when we talk injuries, and we've you know, talked injuries pretty good. And the first position that gets hurt is your special teams, because what happens is your injured guys start getting pulled from special teams to limit their reps, and then your twos, they start moving up into more of a starting role, which then now they're taking more reps, they're getting tired on special teams. And I'll be honest, going into this game, that was a segment that I was worried about.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we had some guys that stepped up and went out and competed. And you know, I think that one of the groups that needs to be really talked about is Trayvon Wehrman. He is our holder, and that's one of them that you don't talk about him unless things are bad. And he has done a great job getting those kicks down. Gunner has unreal amount of faith in him, which he should. Tom Thomas on special teams, he's been one of those guys that he took the most reps on Saturday. He had 85 reps. And when you're on special teams, those are 40-yard sprints, 50-yard sprints. And then being a receiver, he's all also taking those sprints. So if you want to look at it, 85 reps of, you know, very high sprint, that's a lot of yards. And
it was a hot day Saturday,
yeah, hot
too,
day,
in
Pueblo. You know, he's a tough guy. He's one of those guys that, you know, he's really making his name with the Eagles also. And then, you know, Xavier Harrell's been really big. You know, Dax Girardi, Jaden Cox had some huge catches. And then, you know, now we're going to get into our Hammer nominees. And it really come down to Tanner True and Dylan Soule. Tanner True blocked the kick, and then Dylan Soule blocked the punt. Dylan Soule is, I guess, for a pun, I guess, he's the soul of our special teams. He really, really plays hard on our special teams. If you watch him on kickoff, he is the first one down there.
Yeah.
If you watch him on punt, he is a very solid player that is always working hard trying to get somebody down on the ground. On our kickoff return, we put him on the guy that runs the hardest down. We put him on him. On our punt block, he blocked that punt. So he ended up winning the Hammer. And with saying that, we've been fairly good this year at blocking kicks. And normally the guy that blocks the kick always carries out the Hammer. And so that tells you, you know, that Dylan really had a good day for us.
He takes a lot of pride in that special teams coverage position, which is great for Dylan. He's had a solid year. Coach, we've talked about the B. Miller injury. A lot of receivers gone from last week. What can you update us on this week in terms of the unit getting healthy and the rest of the guys going in?
It's almost like make believe the injuries we're going through. We just are going through them, man. When we get done the season, we'll evaluate everything, just see if there's something that we're doing wrong. You know, something that we need to fix, something that we can change, something we can improve on. And we got, you know, medical staff. We got great trainers. We got great strength coaches, and I think we got great coaches. And all three of those together, you know, we're just right now we're banged up. It's probably be best again just to talk about it again on Saturday, but. The positive note, I guess, of things is that Monday when we practiced, it's a limited practice. The guys that didn't travel practiced limited. So hopefully we start getting some of those guys back. You know, we did hear some news. Preston is out for the year. So there's, you know, there's that one we know now for sure. So
tough news to hear Preston out for the year. He's having a terrific season, but good to hear that Heath's injury wasn't going to keep him out, it looks like, hopefully for the weekend and moving forward. So you lose one, you get one back. It's been so tough injury wise and like Coach said, we'll catch you up and learn a lot more as the week moves along Saturday on the pregame show. Let's finish up with the New Mexico Highlands preview. Coach, the Cowboys always kind of a scary team. Makes sense we're playing them around Halloween. You never really know what you're going to get. They've got game breaker types, ton of transfers. The roster's missing a lot of information, heights, weights, all this. It's kind of a mystery, but you know they're going to come out and have an opportunity to make some big plays and maybe give quite a tussle. But like last year, they look that way, and you go down there and just totally take care of them really easily early. So a mystery-type game here for Halloween time.
You know, they are much improved, Dave. I mean, they're, I guess, third coach in 3 years. However, the last coach that was there 2 years ago, last season, you know, I think he really got the team going the right direction. And they did hire within this last season. Those kids are – their team is much improved. You know, Dave, they're competing in every game. When you watch them on film, they're disciplined. I think that they probably have arguably one of the most dynamic players in our league. I probably would bet that he's the fastest kid in the league.
Yeah.
With number 7, and he's a returner. He's their best receiver. You know, he's a kid that we got to know where he's at. And we're excited to be at home. We're excited to play in front of the fans. We got, you know, a big weekend lined up. We're going to have a lot of recruits there, and we're really excited for everybody's support.
Coach, thanks so much for coming in once again. Our weekly J-Long show, catching up on the Eagles and looking ahead to New Mexico Highlands. Coach and I will be on along with Sam Parker on Saturday. The pregame's at 11:15. We'll hear from Jay, and then we'll get into kickoff at noon. Coach, have a great week of practice. Get some guys healthy, and we'll see you on Saturday.
And thank you, Dave. We appreciate everybody's support at home. Go Eagles.
The J-Long Show is presented by Shadron Glass and Windows. Whether you're looking to replace one broken window, upgrade your entire home or business with a beautiful new look, or replace a cracked vehicle windshield, you'll find your perfect glass solution at Shadron Glass and Windows. Save money this winter on energy costs and upgrade to more energy-efficient windows and doors. Stop in and see Judd at 139 Main Street or give Shadron Glass and Windows a call at 432-3268. That's 432-3268. Tune in every Tuesday night during the season for the Jay Long Show, presented by Shadron Glass and Windows. Listen on demand by downloading archived shows on the CSC Sports page at panhandlepost.com.